Well, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. The title of my teaching is The Certainty of God's Word. Man can't tell the future, and that's a problem because it causes man to have uncertainty. Man can't tell the future without God's help because God knows the future. And the future is unknown. And with the unknown, if man can't tell it, then what happens in the mind, there's a lot of speculation that starts up. There's a lot of suppositions where the mind will start to speculate and suppose things that may or not be true and may or may not happen. But that's just how the mind works. God, however, when he speaks with absoluteness and certainty. So you have a big contrast there between the mind of man and the mind of God. Only by knowing God's word, only by knowing his wisdom, only by having his understanding will man's uncertainty and fear dissolve. The greatest fear brings the greatest uncertainty. And we know what the greatest fear is, the fear of death. We know that. Eve had to deal with it. We'll look at that in a minute. God's word has the answers on how to deal with the uncertainty and with the unknown. God's word is and brings life. God's word reverses uncertainty and the unknown. And may this word today that we learn reverse any uncertainty and any unknowns that we are facing because of not knowing our future. But we do know God's word, and he holds the future, and he holds us in his hand. The tree of life, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And it goes on. Take also of the tree of life. The one thing that could have reversed what God said in the garden. The day that you eat of this, you're going to surely die. God says, I'm not going to let him take and eat of it. God actually removed the tree out of the garden. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. Oh, actually, we did in Revelation chapter 2 this morning. I deliberately did not put that verse in my teaching, but I did put the verse in Revelation chapter 22. Thank you, Jerry. That was awesome. The tree of life bore life-giving fruit, enabling one to live forever. It existed side by side with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was and is the only thing that could stop, ye shall surely die. And that's past, present, and future. I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 3. We need to look a little bit more at this tree of life because so much revolved around it in the garden. So much revolves around it in the seventh administration. Proverbs chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 13 through 20. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. God's wisdom and understanding is the tree of life. Well, we didn't even have to go to the garden to get that one, did we? Went to his word, and in his word contains the tree of life. When eaten, wisdom and understanding are the fruit. Eating of the tree of life is eating of God's wisdom and understanding, full of pleasantness, peace, and happiness. So says the word. The tree of life is the magna cum laude of riches, desirability, length of days, riches and honor, so much so that nothing can be compared unto her. Nothing. This was in the garden. God asked Adam and Eve to freely eat of this tree and retain her. Revelation chapter 22. We'll go to the last book of the Bible, number 66 there, Revelation chapter 22. And I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 because we're looking at the tree of life. The tree of life is integral to relieving uncertainty and doubt. It's integral to relieving the unknown. God tells us that the tree was in the garden. God tells us here in Revelation that the tree is on the new earth. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. Imagine Adam and Eve, which one we're going to have this month? And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. He could even eat the leaves of it. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. This tree of life used to be in the garden. It had and has fruit and leaves, both edible. It has 12 different types of fruit with regular monthly yielding and continual leaves for healing. Proverbs chapter 11. I should have told you to keep your finger there, but go back to Proverbs chapter 11, and I'd like to read verse 30. Love learning about the tree of life. There's much more about the tree of life than what I want to share today. It's not the prime focus of the teaching, but it's vital to relieving doubt and uncertainty and the unknown. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And might I add before I read that, let not your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay, you know those little clickers that you can click every time something crosses your path if you're counting something? You have one of those clickers on everybody you've ever talked to and you've told about the Lord Jesus Christ and God's Word and you've won a soul. They've gotten born again. He that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Those who have access to us and eat of the tree of life's righteous fruit become a tree of life, us. Fruit eaten equals fruit produced. What you eat is what you're going to become. Came from the Word. We are righteous now. Oh, what a great teaching that would be. You are righteous now. We produce good fruit. Oh, sowing the seed. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on good ground. Produce fruit. Produce righteous fruit. The tree of life is what grew out of that ground. We produce good fruit. We win souls. We are wise. Proverbs chapter 11, chapter 13. In Proverbs chapter 13, I'd like to read three verses, 12, 13, and 14. The tree of life relieves doubt and uncertainty. Relieves the unknown feelings about what's going to happen. The tree of life is waiting for us. Proverbs chapter 13, starting in verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Well, fountain, tree, there's a lot of connectivity there that we'll find out about as time goes on. The tree of life heals the sick, hopeless heart and stops the destruction. There is no snare of death in the fountain of life, nor in the tree of life. There's no snare. There's no death. There's only life. John chapter 10 says, in verse 10. This destruction is linked with the tree of life. The tree of life eradicates the killing, the stealing, and the destroying that John chapter 10 verse 10 speaks of. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life. From where? The tree of life. And that they might have it more abundantly. The tree of life is the source of the more abundant life in John chapter 10 and verse 10. God is the true source, but He's the one that made the tree of life. And He made it for man to eat of, not only in the past, but also in the future. The tree of life is the source of life, God's life. The tree of life reverses all uncertainty and calamity. The tree of life allows life to continue throughout all eternity. That's a little bit about the tree of life. Jeremiah chapter 15, the eating of the tree of life. We need to get our hands around just what it means to eat of the tree of life. Because in the garden, God made trees, fruit trees, He says. All manner of fruit trees with the seed in itself for man to eat of. Well, we got that one. You can go out and pluck a fruit and eat it. But what about the tree of life, eating of the tree of life? How can that be just as real as going out and picking a peach or a fruit and eating that? Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Well, let's bring a little clarity to this tree of life eating process. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, one of my favorite verses. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And may God give us a better picture of what the tree was like to go up and eat of it and have that joy and rejoicing that came immediately from eating of it. Wow. Well, we've got something just as good. We eat of the words of God's word. The wisdom and understanding of God's word produces joy and rejoicing in the heart. We are the called of God. Oh, what a great teaching that would be. Called of God. Yeah. Genesis chapter 3. So we just got a tiny taste of eating of God's word, what it means to eat God's word. Put it on in your mind. Read it. Think it. Eat it. Dream it. Sleep it. Find them and eat them. And eat it until it becomes the joy and rejoicing of your heart. It reverses calamity. It reverses uncertainty. It reverses doubt. It reverses all the woes and the pathos of man that this AI stuff and these things out there are trying to infiltrate into everybody's lives. We don't need to be afraid of anything. I will not fear what man can do unto me, because God is my strength. God is my sufficiency. Well, we need to have our eyes opened a little bit to this. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 5 through 7. Because we've looked at the tree of life, we've looked at the eating of God's word, and we looked at what happens. Now, just as we read in Jeremiah chapter 15, when the prophet ate of God's word, what opened up to him? Joy and rejoicing in his heart. That's the opening that I'm speaking of. What opens when things are read? Something opens and the eyes opening. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. In verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one what? Wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right beside the tree of life, or in proximity in the garden, was this tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were both in there. Well, I'll tell you what, when you've got evil working and it mixes with good to try to make itself seem all good, you got a bad concoction there. And Eve was tricked into eating of it. In verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What they ate caused something. It caused a knowing. They knew. Their eyes were opened. The eyes of their understanding, they were open, but not by God. They turned over the knowing and the revealing of spiritual matters to God's archenemy. Bad, bad, bad move. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I'll give you an understanding, the best I can give you in a minute of that. But that's the eye opening. Eyes open with understanding through knowledge given. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because we want to relieve uncertainty. Thank God that we're learning about these things, these current event things. Thank God that we're not in the dark. And thank God that we have His Word to be able to hold onto and to live according to, and not just by ourselves, but together. We're not alone in this thing. This caption is called the blinding. We've looked at the tree of life. We've looked at eating of God's Word. We've looked at the eyes opening, and now we're looking at the blinding. Because I'm teaching about the certainty of God's Word, that by it comes joy and rejoicing. By it comes life, the fruit of it, the leaves of it, the words in God's Word of it, the leaves of the paper. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 3 and 4. And in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That trickster did it so well with Eve that with all that she had in the garden, everything in front of her, unbelief crept in. Unbelief crept in. It's the same principle. When unbelief creeps in, it's just what the Word says of it blinds the mind. The mind was blinded. Eve's mind was blinded to that which she had full awareness of. God's Word said, do this. And she had full awareness of it, but it got blinded because she started not to believe it. And we know that, but I want to get into the why of it. The why of it. Because it happens to Christians today. I want to get into the why of it. Not about the exact thing that Adam and Eve did, but about the blinding and unbelief. Sure. The serpent preyed on Eve's uncertainty of the knowledge of something she had not experienced. Well, what was it? Death? What was it? Death? She had not experienced that. No, there's no death that happened. She was told about it. She got the word, the D word. Thou shalt surely die. He got her to believe that she was missing something. That in that tree of knowledge that had death circulating around it, God said, you shall surely die. And then the serpent said, you're not going to surely die. It had the whole subject circulating around it. He got her believing that she was missing something. That's what happened. That God had given her incomplete knowledge. Whoa. So she had unbelief. She believed that she didn't have all that she needed from God. Well, she did have all that she needed from God. But she started believing she didn't and had to go outside of that. She became afraid of this subject of death, fear of death. She became afraid of this subject of death and started to have an intense desire for knowledge concerning it. However all that came about, that's what happened. She became blinded as her unbelief of what God said grew. As it grew, she became more and more blinded. And then finally, we know what happened after that. She took of that knowledge and what part of it she had to do, perform the doing of something, and it completed it, and then high treason was committed. Whenever truth is eaten from the knowledge of good and evil tree, fear and uncertainty is the result. We've learned from God's Word over the past several months that if you've got fear about something, it's wrong doctrine, because there is no fear with God and with His Word. So if there's a mix of something, that's why I said earlier that's eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Inadvertently, not the one in the garden, but the one that's out there that's covered this earth because of the God of this earth, that's out there blinding people. How does He blind people? Unbelief. Unbelief of what? The truth of God's Word. Do you see how that starts to make sense? Sure. Whenever truth is eaten from the knowledge of the good and evil tree, fear and uncertainty is the result. Lies mixed with truth always end in calamity. Ephesians chapter 1. And God has a fix for all this. God has a fix for all this. And He reversed it. He reversed things. Now we know how He reversed it with the plan of salvation kept hidden, and the God being the author of salvation, and the agent, the secret agent man, Jesus Christ, carrying out that plan of salvation. Yeah. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, blindness reversed God's way. Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 18 to 20. Because we need to see, I show you about blindness. It's like Jerry was teaching us about current events. And he goes, for the first time, I'm giving you hope. Oh, and I so badly want to tell you all about it. But we're going to work it. We're going to find out, because God is bringing things to light. He's making crooked paths straight. He's showing us a way when it seemed like there was no way. And that's our God. And He's doing it Ephesians 3:20 style. So have great hope. Yeah, have great hope. So we had the blinding that we just talked about. But what about the blindness reversed? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Those that don't believe aren't going to have power in their lives. There's a coupling of the knowledge of God's Word, the belief of God's Word, and the power that comes with it, that is necessary ingredients for relieving doubt and uncertainty and fear of the future, and especially fear of death, because our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Yeah. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. It's through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus, that spiritual blindness has been reversed. Man was dead, trespasses and sins, blind, without God and without hope, in total darkness. There was no pathway. There was no bridge between God and man. And the covering that covered it was the covering that got put over this earth when Adam and Eve committed high treason. And on that day that God accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice of Himself in the holiest of holies, that veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The faintest sliver opened up and Jesus Christ went to heaven. The faintest sliver opened up, giving man access to God again. It changed everything. Whoa! It changed everything. Spiritual blindness has been reversed. The continual onslaught of the same lies given in the garden run rampant today. The propaganda, the false narratives, the lies. Don't get upset at Jerry for being honest with you. Jerry, you need to tell us more. You need to be a little bit more forthcoming. We'll toughen up. We'll figure it out. But we do not want to be in the dark. Spiritual blindness has been reversed. That continual onslaught continues today. Purporting to be truth, today's narratives are nothing but lies. It should always come down to, and I was almost going to name this teaching, what have you been eating? What have you been eating? But it does come down to, what have you been eating? Which tree? Come on! Do you got great joy and rejoicing in your heart? Or is it somewhere where it's not? Well, start eating the right thing. Well, what does God's Word say? That's what it always comes back to. Because the slander and the reporting and the covering of this earth is never going to be conducive to the move of God's word. Never. Not one time. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Zero. But God's word is conducive to the move of God's word. And he gives us everything that we need so that we can live more than abundantly. So another way to say, what does God's word say, is, what have you been eating? Then that's blindness reversed God's way. The next bullet point is blindness attacks, because I told you Christians are being attacked, and I want to tell you two of them. I want to tell you two of them. Blindness of tax, and of, I could say it like this. Hath God really said? Did it not come up in Genesis chapter 3? Yes, it did. To look at this, we need to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 2 to 4. So, blindness attacks, or the attack of blindness. The attack to try to make people blind. The attack of one's faith. A lot of ways you could say it. Hath God really said? So in verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 3, we look at the first one. And I know there's more, but I only have time for two. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And the reason why I say there's more, because how many things were spoken of by the prophets that are truth, that have been corrupted to make people believe they're not? Yeah, a lot. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last time scoffers, propagandizers, yeah, narrative people, walking after their own lust. And that's what it gets down to. It's all about them, not about the glory of God and the move of His word. Verse 4, in saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Just like with Eve's uncertainty of the knowledge of something she'd not experienced, death, Christians today are preyed upon by the same tactics. Not having experienced a gathering together, it causes doubt and uncertainty to be fed upon. How many people quit talking about and quit living as if He's coming back today? Have their eyes looking up to the heavens, waiting for that cloudy day. He's coming back. The scoffers don't believe that, and they purport that. They teach it. They teach it in mainstream Christianity, that we're already living in some type of time or an administration that we've been excluded. We've been left behind. Movies made about that kind of stuff. What a load of narrative hogwash. And yet, hath God really said? Did God really say He's coming? That's what it is, and it's on Christians. Yeah. Well, God really did say. He did. 2 Peter chapter 3 again. Let's read verses 8 and 9. We're in chapter 3. Let's read verse 8 and 9, because God really said. But beloved, verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count, as the scoffers, as the narrative people count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, God made the promise, and it's going to happen. God really did say. So you counter that with God really did say. Whenever blindness attacks, the attack of blindness is starting to doubt the gathering together, starting to doubt what God has for you in the future, starting to doubt that your sins have been forgiven, starting to doubt that when you get to the bema, you're going to be baseball batted because you're such a horrible person. Those are all lies. The truth of God's word states 100% otherwise. And the truth of God's word are the leaves and the fruit that we feed upon. That's what gives us the joy and rejoicing. So don't get upset when other people don't have the same joy and rejoicing you have, and that your heart just flat out comes alive when you think about how you've been forgiven through Christ Jesus. Adam's high treason, which caused death upon all men, and that sliver at the holiest of holies was made for you too. Because you were taken right up there with the Lord Jesus Christ to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What a great day. but we haven't actually physically experienced it. Our bodies haven't dissolved like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 5, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and got that new body, our vile bodies, fashioned like His glorious body. Oh, that still hadn't happened yet. You see where doubt can come in? That is where that schizophrenic devil preys upon people with. Well, get sure about God's Word. We want to see the final blindness of tact? Let's go to chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Hath God really said, what have you been eating? This is Christian blindness. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to start in verse 3 and read through verse 10. You notice I'm not spending a lot of time on each verse. This is more of a topical, make my point teaching. And so we're just going to read verses 3 to 10 and make the most incredible point in the world. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as God by His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And we are. We're called of God. We read about that in the Old Testament, that it was foretold. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, the scoffer lust, the scoffer unbelief lust, that don't believe in the return. They don't believe that God is God and what they could have if they would believe in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the old unbelief that's out there. We've escaped that unbelief. Now we have to walk around in the world with it, but we've escaped it. It's not in our life. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness agape. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think the tree of life is full of? All of these things. Eat of it. Enjoy it. It comes with joy and rejoicing. It comes with all of these amazing things. You can't make this up. I didn't make it up. We don't go and make up something that is called diligence. These are things that God set up. He shows us how to be diligent. That brings up the coolest thing. When Jerry was teaching the other day about temptation, it's in the audios. It's in the February audios, and he penned it. It's in the audios. It is such a great point that the temptation to sleep and not get up and to get on with your life is so big. Now, I'm not a sleeper. I don't go sleep all around. I hate it. I only have one life. But I do have trouble with something else. You know what that is? Sometimes putting things off and not doing them in a more expedient manner. I tell Joy, I go, all you got to do is get me off the couch. Once you get me off the couch, boy, I'll get a million things done. No, we have a joke about it because I don't sit on the couch a lot, but it's just that thing. In my mind, I know that it's kind of like a sleepiness where I could just not do it if I don't want to. And that's what I thought about with the February audios, and that's what I thought about with giving all diligence, and that's what I thought about with abounding in the things that I have fruit from with the tree of life, is to get busy in my life and do things. We have everything that we need. And so I was thinking about that. And then back in verse 8 again, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want to be barren or unfruitful in anything. So getting with it is a big deal. Slumber, sleep, the temptation to do that. The disciples did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a big deal. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, what I just read, is blind. It's like being asleep. They're blind and cannot see afar off. Eyes closed, blind. And it's not just physical, but it's mental. It happens spiritually. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I told you that this is what the serpent, the same trick the serpent did in the garden, got her to think that she didn't have everything that she needed, got her to doubt that what she had was real and that she had to go somewhere else for it. And then she got this mismatch of hogwash that caused horrible destruction. When somebody is blind, they have unbelief. The unbelief was caused by them not eating of the tree of life itself. God's word, like Jeremiah said, it's eating of that knowledge of good and evil. It's a mix of things. One day I'll know a better way to say it, but it's when that kind of thing happens, unbelief set in. It set in with Eve, and it set in with the promise of his coming, people that just walked away from it. It also set in the book of Acts, when people walk away from the truth, many thousands they were that believed, they just walked away. How? Well, that's how. And then verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, instead of that, instead of being blind, instead of forgetting that you were purged from your old sins and walking like you're triumphant, like you're forgiven, like you're who God's word says you are, instead of doing that, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So instead of walking the blind way, walk the other way. That's my point. Just like with Eve's uncertainty of the knowledge of something she'd not experienced, which was death, Christians today are preyed on by the same tactics. Not having experienced the gathering together in the third heaven, the Bema, yeah, it causes uncertainty with some. It causes doubt to be fed upon. But it's because of the diet. It's not because of the truth of God's word. And in James chapter 1, I'd like to close. You see, go to James chapter 1. Christian blindness is due to improper diet and knowledge. Improper diet of knowledge and neglect of God's word. Christian blindness. From not coming to and eating of God's word. We have everything we need to go and sup at God's table in the presence of our enemies. This person we just spoke of cannot see. He has forgotten the purging of sins. How could a Christian forget that? Does. It's caused by blindness. It's caused by shifting the faith and the belief to another doctrine. One that's mixed with maybe a little bit of truth, but a whole lot of error. Because you're not purged from your sins is a lie. That's the error. It gets pushed out there in mainstream whatever. Instead of forgetting, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Instead of losing sight of the gathering together, give diligence. Learn it. We just learned about putting on all these things that will abound as we do them. We put them on by the diet, by the feeding of the knowledge of God's word. It pushes the blindness back. It makes God's word certain in our minds because God's word is certain. You know, Eve told the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, one of the phrases she said was, lest ye die. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, if you take a minute and work up all 88 uses of that Hebrew word lest, you're going to see that it's more along the lines of perhaps. Was God a perhaps God when he said that? Was Eve a perhaps person when she said that? Yes, she was. Why? Because of her unbelief was not strong in what God originally said. She took her faith and pulled it away and attached it to, I'm not really going to die. I'm not dying now. I'm talking to the serpent. God came up with this whole thing about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's not dead. I probably won't die. She was getting tricked into believing that. And so she took of it. That's the problem. And that's what she was dealing with. Yeah, that's the problem. That's what she was dealing with. Well, she had an improper diet and knowledge of God's word. She couldn't see it anymore. She flat out couldn't see it. And when a Christian gets to the point of not being able to see the gathering together or thinking that they're already past it, Well, it's either wrongly dividing God's word or the improper diet and belief of something from what somebody's saying that isn't God's word. It just becomes real clear. And we ought to be so, and we are so thankful for how we stand on God's word, that we don't budge on it, that we have a foundation in it. We have a background in God's word, the whole entire word of God, that we know enough of the scope of it, that we can say that it means what it says, where God says it, when he says it, how he says it, why he says it, and whom he says it, that God's word is true, that it's going to come to pass, that I am a son of God. I can do. Yo puedo hacer. I am everything God's word says I am and will be. Barrenness, unfruitfulness, and lacking in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ causes Christians to be blind. Giving diligence reverses the blindness. Christians being unfruitful and lacking, they forget because they're feeding on a tree God said not to feed on. You can do it, but in the day you do, it's going to be immediate that your faith starts to get mixed with something else. It's that strong. Let's just call it contaminated fruit. Yeah, we become what we feed on. Those that feed on the tree of life become a tree of life. Those that feed on our lives become what? It just keeps going. James chapter 1, verse 22. And God really did say this. God really did say this. And I'm speaking about the blindness in the Christian, in the Christianity. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, the deception starts when a person gets hoodwinked into thinking they don't have to do any activity. They don't have to study the word. They don't have to abundantly share. They don't have to fellowship with believers. They don't have to hold forth God's word. They don't have to pray. No, just whenever, whatever. It's a hoodwinking. It's a blindness that happens. And yet God says to get with it and do these things. We've learned these things. To be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Because it says you're deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. When you look in the word and you see the Christ in you, and then you walk away from it and you immediately forget, that's what it's talking about here. You just go back to your natural way of living. Things just continue as they were from the beginning. There's no return. You see how that lie is out there? You see how it just permeates the fabric of our cultures? And in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Couldn't have said it better myself. The certainty of God's word is realized in these few verses. Reverse the blindness. Hear and do God's word. Remember and continue according to the perfect law of liberty contained in the wisdom and in the understanding of God's word. This is the tree of life that we are eating from. God is not slack concerning his promises. He's not willing that any should perish. We are doers of the work, blessed in our deed. We have a big job to do. We are tree of life people. So yeah, we got current events out there, but they can't touch us. We have a job to do. We have a hand to put to the plow. We have a life to live, a triumphant life to live. And by God, we're going to live it. He will make a way when there is no way. I will not be afraid of man, for what can man do unto me? Nothing. Because of God's presence and God's word, he'll make evil fall to the ground. Those little punks think they can twist and change the world and do whatever they're going to do. And the media makes it look like it's the biggest fear mechanism and woe be unto everybody. You might as well do what they say. Well, to that I say, let's just keep eating of the tree of life. Yeah, God's word has given us the answers on the how to deal with uncertainty and the unknown. Anytime you have any kind of uncertainty and unknown things come up in your heart of hearts, just because you have an experience, it doesn't make it not true. Just because Eve had experienced death did not make true what God's Word says. Just because we haven't experienced the gathering together and the living forever, does that make it a lie? Well, that's what God's archenemy says. It's a lie. And he builds everything off of that. He's a liar, father of it. God's Word reverses uncertainty and the unknown, and he has given us the answers right there. You got the issue, and then you got the answer. God's Word is certain. It is truth, and it brings life. Amen and amen.